Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Back in against Mesa, who is working from the windup. The 0-1 pitch. Swings, and there it is! A base hit in the right center. He's done it. 3,000 for Robin.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He's ready. And delivers. Morgan, a smash up the middle. Base hit to center. Here comes Gomez. Around third. A throw and the Brewers win. The Brewers are moving on.
I still, and this is not sour grapes by any means, still think I should have gone in as a player. Thank you. Thank you very
much. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Continuing to remember Bob Uecker this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you have memories you'd like to share with us that you want us to share on the air, go ahead and get it to us on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. Or remember, you can always stream the show on our YouTube channel, ESPN Milwaukee, and get your comments in there. Want to pivot a little bit here to the Green Bay Packers because Brian Gutekunst had his end-of-year press conference yesterday, and there were a number of things that he addressed. But the one that popped for me, in addition to, like I said, a number of things, he said at one point, he talked about how the defense got pressure with four. And I told Gabe, I was like that lady in that meme where she's bending over and squinting through her Coke bottle glasses. And I was like, when did they get pressure? Honestly, legitimately get pressure with four. But I digress. The wide receiver one conversation is fascinating to me. As we just talked with Craig Karmazin, if you missed any of that, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand. Brian Gutekunst essentially dismissed or disregarded this idea, discounted the value of a wide receiver one. So let's take a listen to Brian Gutekunst yesterday talking about his wide receiver room.
The other top quarterbacks in this conference, they all seem to have that receiver that they can go to when they're matched up at any point consistently. Do you need to get that guy for Jordan to be able to get to that point?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we have some of those guys, and I think, we don't have just one, you know, but I think historically, you know, if you look at a lot of the team, you know, very rarely do teams that have one receiver that's super heavy with targets. That doesn't usually play out well for playoffs and success there. I think we're certainly looking for these guys that we have currently to take a step into that role where they are more consistent on the down basis. Certainly, if there's somebody outside of our building or not, whether it's the draft, free agency that makes some sense for us, we'll certainly look to do that. But we're also looking for these guys to continue to grow and hopefully grow into that space.
I mean, I just can't believe anything the guy says. You know, I'm sorry, just based on the Aaron Jones, the way he handled that last year, I just can't believe anything he says. And let me ask you guys this. In the division, when it comes to receivers, are all of their ones and twos better than anything Green Bay has? Okay, so you have Justin Jefferson and Addison. Are they better than anything Green Bay
has?
Yes.
You have St. Brown and you have Jameis.
Jameis
better
and
than anything they have?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. DJ Moore and Keenan McCardle.
Keenan McCardle. The old Jaguars Keenan wide receivers.
Is Keenan McCardle better than anything they have
now? Chewy, to your defense, yes, Keenan McCardle, underrated in his time in the 90s. Keenan McCardle was awesome.
But better than what the Packers have for wide receivers currently.
Yeah, I believe Keenan McCardle had at least a 1,000-yard season in there.
Can we get back to the actual Bears receivers?
No, Keenan McCardle. Yeah. I want to talk about Keenan McCardle the rest of the day.
I didn't think we'd get that chance for so long. I mean, who buys this stuff? You know? He's a weird GM. And I'm not saying he's a bad GM. He's just a weird GM. You know? Just can't believe anything that comes out of it. Like, I'm reading a clip here, you know? Packers GM Gutekunst appears to be open to bringing starting center Josh Myers back. Anybody believe that?
I believe that. I think he's open to it. He's open to it at his price, but he's open to that idea.
Yes.
He's not open to paying market value for him, but he's open to trying to underpay him to keep him around.
And I think they feel like they have the leverage there because of Zach Tom, right? Not that they want to move Zach Tom to center. Not that Zach Tom wants to move to center, just from a pay standpoint. But one of the things that Gutekunst said yesterday was they value the versatility for their offensive linemen, and they feel very good about having 3 to 4 guys who can play all 5 positions. So what that does is, if you don't want to play ball, if you don't want to sign for what we want you to sign for, well, the good news is any one of your compadres could also slide into the position that you held. And typically, that was not the case for center. Center was kind of its own thing for a while, wasn't it? Where it was like, if you were good at being a center, you had job security because the guys who played guards and tackles didn't often slide into that role.
Yeah, and whoever the next center is probably going to maintain being that, and the only reason somebody else would slide in is because injury, like we saw with Elgton Jenkins this year when Josh Myers missed the one game that he did. So that's something that they're going to have to decide. And like you said, I don't know if Zach Tom is going to want to move from right tackle, especially after Penei Sewell just got paid what he got paid at right tackle. But going back to the wide receivers, and I know you listed off the stat when we were talking with Craig, Jen, but I would make the argument that 7 of the final 8 teams have that go-to guy. I would say that 7 out of these 8 teams have that go-to guy. And maybe because of some injuries, especially for a team like the Rams, those guys don't show up in the top of the charts because Cooper Kupp got injured and Puka Nacua got injured, so they don't have 1,000 yards this season. But everybody but the Bills has a go-to guy.
Well, and so that's the distinction, right? I've got the list in front of me of the top 20 wide receivers in the league, and it does say whether they are in or out or didn't even qualify for the playoffs this year. And that's where that 30% number came from that we quoted when we were talking to Craig Karmazin. Only 30% of the top 20 wide receivers are still in, even made the playoffs, and I think it's down to 10% now. So your point is the teams that are still in have a go-to guy, much like Devontae Adams was for Aaron Rodgers back in the day. Mm-hmm. In case of emergency, break glass, oh, there's Devontae, I can dump it off to him, or I know he's running a route where he can make the catch and move the chains.
Yeah, so I mean, with the Lions, we've been over that. The Commanders have Terry McLaurin. The Eagles have 2 really good guys. Rams have Nacua and Kupp. Ravens have Zay Flowers, who is injured right now, and Mark Andrews. The Texans have Nico Collins. The Chiefs have Travis Kelce. And again, Rashee Rice when he's healthy, because they trust him.
But do you think that the disconnect here is that they expected Christian Watson to be that guy? They expected Christian Watson to elevate to the Nico Collins level, to the Justin Jefferson
Dobbs
level. They're out now, but
I think it was Dobbs and Reed.
Yep.
I think those were the two they were expecting more development out of that they just didn't get.
Chu, why do you say no?
After year 3.
Yeah.
Because you know after year 3. I mean, I know after year 2 with Lucas Van Ness.
Well.
You know? But now they're going to blame the D-line coach? Now they're going to blame the D-line coach?
Well, he's under contract for 2 more years, so you got to blame someone.
I know. To me, it's ridiculous. You know? And he didn't come in like he was undersized and understrength. He came in as a beast, right? That was the one thing we said when they drafted him. Like, this guy's a physical specimen. Yeah, great. He can play football. Zero. Gabe, if you gave me the amount of snaps that they gave Lucas Van Ness, I would win one time at 55 years old.
I
would win one time.
I would agree with that. I think you could win one
time. Left tackle falls down. So I would win one.
Wait, if I set the over-under...
He won zero!
If I set the over-under, Jen, at 0.5, you're taking the under?
No. What you asked, what I was laughing at, I'm watching on the stream. That sucker got so close to the camera, I could see his nose hairs. He was so emphatic about that point. He was way up there on top of the camera. That's what I was chuckling about.
Did we do a good enough job explaining that basically Lucas Van Ness recorded did not win a single pass rush?
Did not win a single one-on-one.
How many snaps is that? Do you know how many snaps that is?
Well, it wasn't 6.
I mean, it's got to be.
It's not like it was, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to say like it was a small sample size and like, unlucky.
Yeah, because I guess I don't know how they were defining where we got the stat, the true pass rush. So I don't know how that, but again, in a league where throwing the football is important, I'm willing to say it was double or triple digits.
Just out of curiosity, Chu, what number would make you feel okay with the number 0? It'd have to be like 10. right? It'd have to be like he only played 10 snaps where there was a true pass rush. I'm trying to switch the thing.
I think five.
That's to say, even one out of 10 is kind of...
Yeah, I think five. Like, if it's one out of five, like 20%.
Zero out of
five. Yeah, maybe if he got to six. When you start getting to seven, you're 0 for 7. I've got questions.
If I mean, I'm sure that it's got to be 100 or more times he rushed the passer.
Oh, probably, yeah.
I would say I would need 70.
To win your first one?
I would need 70 snaps to win one.
Right this moment?
Are you going against the same guy every time?
With a bad sack.
Bad sack.
He's got a bad sack.
No, against everyone he went against.
I wonder if we could simulate that somehow, by the way, guys. I wish there was a way to, like,
be able to do
there's
this for
gotta
us,
be
right?
a way to simulate Chewy going up against all of the what, offensive linemen that he faced this past year.
And yeah, the problem is Penny Sewell might hurt you. You might have to avoid him.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely getting hurt, but I can tell you this. I remember Jacksonville, Gabe, because we covered this in 22 You, Chew, and Who.
Yeah. Bingo.
We're done with it for the season.
He went against the tight end.
Dumped the information.
He went up against a tight end and got stonewalled.
He did. It's very true. And that wasn't the only time that happened in that game, Chew.
I mean, he's probably a nice guy, but you can't. You have to hold your players accountable. Okay? You have to hold your players accountable. That's all I'm saying. You know, nice guy. Who gives a rip? Get to the quarterback.
So let me ask you this, Chew.
Be an a-hole. Be an a-hole and get there 50% of the time. I would take that.
I know you're very dog with a bone on this Lucas Van Ness thing. When it comes to the wide receivers, are you willing to? I know. I'm trying. Look, I'm trying. We got 2 minutes left in the segment. I'm going to try real hard.
Start the wide receiver.
Are you at all willing to excuse some of their lack of production, not meeting expectations, for Josh Jacobs being inserted into the offense, for them needing to run the offense differently, and for some of the guys, i.e. Jaden Reed, i.e. Romeo Doubs, not getting the number of targets that they would have liked to get into a rhythm and to be able to elevate themselves to that number one wide receiver spot?
No, I think that was the only way to go. They had to do that because the receivers are meh, you know? I mean, if let's say Devontae Wicks, at the beginning of the season, right? Go back to last offseason. Oh, Wicks is going to be the number one. He's going to separate himself. Gabe, they said this. Don't shake your head.
Well, no, I was shaking my head at Josh.
You know? Oh, he's going to be the number one. You watch.
I was on the Dontavian Wicks bandwagon. Like, I was driving that bus, man. Like, I know.
I'm still driving
it. Like, he let me down in a big way. And I understand they want to use Josh Jacobs as an excuse. I know Christian Watson's dad is trying to do that on social media as well. Like, well, they were running the ball so much, you can't get in rhythm when you run the ball so much.
I did not see that. I just want to put it out there that I was not stealing that from him, especially when you use that voice to do
Christian
Watson's
voice.
Dad. Wow. Okay, I don't want to be in that camp.
But somehow, Derrick Henry goes to Baltimore, rushes for 1,900 yards, and Lamar Jackson has the best statistical passing season of his career. How did the Ravens pull it off?
Well remember, I mean, we don't even...
I'll tell you this. Hey, guys, I'll tell you this. Like, you know what makes Josh... You know what makes Josh Jacobs even better?
A good passing
even
game?
Even better. A number one receiver. A number one receiver makes Josh Jacobs even better.
We showed you... We talked about those... Wow, my brain just stopped. Play action. We talked about the play action numbers at the end of the season, and they were woof bad.
Yeah.
I think Goody took the opportunity here to glom on the definition of wide receiver one, when the true question is, do you guys think it's a need to have somebody to rely on?
Right, a go-to guy.
We don't need Jamar Chase out here, and I don't think any one of us is arguing that, but you need somebody who on third down, it's third and five, you can go, he's going to be open most of the time, and he's going to make the catch because... That was also a big problem.
Yeah, there were 700 receiving yards between Jamar Chase and Nico Collins. Would you take a Nico Collins?
Yeah. I mean, I would go lower. T. Higgins. You could go, like, if Romeo Doubs was what they expected him to be, and I remember us talking about him nonstop, like, he's limited. He can only do so much. And then he does what he does, and it's like, he doesn't get open enough. He's not consistent enough at the catch point, even though that's a strong suit.
To Chewy's point, in three years, Chew for Romeo, he has not had a regular season game where he's gone over 100 yards. The only time he ever went over 100 yards was Dallas playoff game last year. That's it in three years.
You know what defensive coordinators are scared as hell to do when you have a Davante Adams in his prime?
Put a corner on an island.
You know what they're afraid to do? Bring up a safety into the box.
Mm-hmm.
They are afraid because they only got 11 of them. That's what they're afraid of. And that's why I'm saying Josh Jacobs would probably be even better. Would be even better.
So what I'm taking from this is Lucas Van Ness sucks.
Yes.
And Chewy disagrees with what Goody said yesterday about not necessarily needing a wide receiver one because he thinks they got a bunch of them.
Correct.
Perfect. Look how we did, Gabe. 8-16.
All right.
Landed the plane.
Although he did get up. He got close to the camera again, and I saw it.
See?
Yeah, suddenly we're worried about the clock.
We got to get to Chewy. We can reach you soon.
That's a whole other segment away.
Oh, look at you knowing the rundown.
Yeah.
Not just a hat rack, Jen.
I want to tell you guys about my friends over at Quintessa Aesthetic Center. New Year's is often a time when a lot of us want to hit the reset button, whether it's fitness, wellness, or taking better care of ourselves. And let's be honest, guys. Feeling confident in how you look and feel is not just for the ladies. That's where Quintessa Aesthetic Center comes in. From now through March 31st, they are offering special packages to help you gentlemen start 2025 as a more confident you. It could be a wellness or a weight loss plan. It could be some Botox. It could be some skincare. Maybe even it's some IV therapy. They've got personalized options backed by medical expertise to help you look and feel your best. What are you waiting for? There's no need to not check out my friends over at Quintessa Aesthetic Center. Just go to myquintessa.com to make this the year that you feel the most confident inside and out.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. Hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We can reach you coming right up here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Remember, you can always stream the show on our YouTube stream, ESPN Milwaukee. Get your comments in. Lots of people weighing in on the wide receiver one conversation. Lots of people giving us their Bob Uecker memories. Continue getting to that. We will address some of those, read some of those as the show goes on. But I guess, Chewy, you're back there mad scientisting things. You're mad scientisting a situation for the Green Bay Packers. What do you got?
This is what I would do. I would give up Dobbs and Wicks. Get yourself a true number one, okay? This way you would have Dallas's offense of the 90s. So you would have Michael Irvin with a true number one. You re-sign Christian Watson, who's Alvin Harper, who really all he did is run by people. Not a great route runner, which Watson is. You would have Jay Novacek a la Tucker Kraft. Kraft's a much better blocker than Jay. And then you would have Emmitt Smith, Josh Jacobs in the backfield with Troy Aikman, Jordan Love. That's what I would do.
What if you don't have to trade for a wide receiver one, though?
Which would be nice.
And wasn't there thoughts that maybe the New York Jets were going to just cut Devontae outright?
They're gonna cut him, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't have to trade for him.
Nobody's going to trade for the number that he's got. They're going to have to cut him.
Well, that's how I would run my offense.
Well, now I'm saying, now are you in on Devontae then?
No, I'm not in. I want to, like...
I just want to make sure I'm following.
Who's close? I mean, Devontae's a Hall of Famer, I believe. But who's a young Devontae type that's a free agent?
Well, that's the problem. Young Devontae types usually don't become free agents.
Closest thing you can get is T. Higgins.
Who, again,
yeah, you would have
Higgins,
to trade.
I know,
yeah, because at the very least, the Bengals are going to franchise tag him and trade him away.
Is T. Higgins, I know he's good, but is he great? Like, is he a top 10 receiver?
He's
in this
greater league? Than anything we have.
I don't think he's a top 10 receiver, Chew, but he's really good.
He has flourished in opportunities without Ja'Marr Chase,
yeah,
where he has functioned as a wide receiver one in many opportunities given. I don't know if that's sustainable for a whole season, but I've seen him be the sole focus on offense and flourish.
Yeah, and have like a 130-yard game.
Yes.
That's how I would run it. That's how I would run it. That offense was so hard to stop. You know, part of it was they had an unbelievable offensive line, which I think, I mean, what did we give the offensive line a grade? A-?
Yeah, it was good.
You know? That's how I would do it. That's how I would do it. And then you can go back to drafting 43 first-round picks for the defense. You know?
Hey, I'll tell you what, though, Chew. Whoever they draft next for defensive end, I promise you he's going to win one pass rush. He's going to win one. He's got at least one. He's going to be better than Van Ness, I promise you.
So yesterday, Brian Gutekunst did address this a little bit, Chew, because he was asked sort of about when you trade for players, how do you know if when they're up there in age, they still can produce to the level you need them to? Take a listen to Brian Gutekunst yesterday.
Is that something that you see value in, or is that something you'd like to stay away from?
It all depends who the player is, you know, and what he could give you. I don't particularly want to see somebody on the backside of their career. I don't think that's something I'd be particularly interested in. How old was Reggie White when Ron signed him? I mean, he was in his 30s, I believe, you know, but he wasn't on the backside of his career by any means, you know. So I think it just depends on the player and what you think he has in front of him, you know. It just depends on the player.
Gabe, do you think he's talking about Devontae Adams there?
Kind of feels like he is.
So that's a no, right? Yeah, that's a hard
Well, and
no.
That's what we said yesterday. Like, he would have to go against what he's typically done to sign somebody like Devontae. And that's why maybe he already knows what's out there in terms of free agent wide receivers. T. Higgins is going to be too expensive. Devontae, another one out there, he's probably too old. Maybe that's why he stepped up and tried to insert confidence in the guys that they have, because he knows the options at wide receiver, and in terms of trying to improve it right away, aren't very good this offseason.
Wouldn't what we saw from Devontae the past two seasons be more akin to the Reggie White signing than it would be to old and washed up?
Yeah, I would make that argument.
Yes.
I would make that argument, but I don't know. Like, Chewy would make the other argument. He did earlier this week.
You know what? I don't think it is the production on the field he's worried about. He's worried about paying a guy $20 million and then getting hurt because he's 33 years old. I think that's what scares him more than anything. I think he knows Devontae is still elite, but he doesn't want to get hamstrung by, you know, okay, I got a receiver one, and he's going to get hurt.
I mean, but Devontae,
which is fair.
Since he's left Green Bay, Devontae's shown that he can stay healthy.
No, I know.
And some of the games missed were like Goody believes.
I think Goody believes.
He's missed three games, and they were all this year since he was traded to Vegas. And I think part of that was because he was getting traded. He was sitting out. They were figuring it out.
Yeah.
So he played 17, 17. This year he played 14 games, and he still had over 1,000 yards in 14 games.
What will disappoint you more, rolling back the receivers or rolling back the D-line?
D-line.
Okay, so I'm glad that you brought that up, because I wanted to get to this other Goody sound, C on the sheet, Joshy, where Gabe has been adamant about needing to upgrade, improve that defensive line. It's like if Gabe got a tattoo of anything, it would be upgrade the defensive line for the Green Bay Packers. But we have talked about how, no, you should go ahead and get somebody in the draft. And then Gabe has said, well, aren't you going to use a first-round draft pick to upgrade that position anyway, likely? So let's take a listen to what Brian Gutekunst had to say about trading a first-round pick for a player.
I'm trying to think how many times we've done that around here, you know? So, yeah, I mean, there was one back in Favre, right? I mean, they traded a first-round pick for him, right? I'm trying to think if we've traded any first-round picks since I've been here for a player, you know? It doesn't happen a lot at all. We've gotten some first-round picks for players, you know? Certainly if that player can impact our football team in a significant way, you have to consider that.
Gabe, what does that mean? Okay, there's a lot of stuff there. It doesn't happen much at all.
Doesn't seem like he's trading a first-round pick for anything.
Okay, so to your point about when we have talked about upgrading the defensive line, and it has been Max Crosby, and it has been what would it cost to get Max Crosby, and it is often mentioned a first-round pick, and you're saying you're going to spend a first-round pick probably on that position anyway,
mm-hmm.
and this is a proven commodity. Why not pull the trigger? Why not make it happen? Mm-hmm. What say you after hearing Goody yesterday?
That's the answer I expect from Brian Gutekunst. He values those draft picks. He wants to be younger. I don't see him taking that big swing and going after Max Crosby. I don't think Myles Garrett is going to be available. I think the Browns are just going to lock him up to a longer-term deal, the way that everybody in Cleveland's talking about that. Max Crosby seems like a realistic possibility, but I don't think that Goody's good. Based on what he said yesterday, it doesn't seem like he's going to do some of these big things that we have talked about throughout the course of this week.
Goody is much more Ted Thompson than he is Rod Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Much more Ted Thompson. And you know what? If you want to be a good GM or a great GM, man, you got to take chances. You can't be worried about getting fired. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to be like, the hell with it. Because if it works out, you'll be a legend in Green Bay forever. If not, you know, you'd be treading water and you'll go 11-6 and then you'll lose in the playoffs and you got to roll the dice sometimes, man. You got to be able to say, they're going to fire me? Screw it. I'm going down swinging. Now, you don't have to be reckless.
Yeah.
But like you said, Jen, they pick a D-line in the 20, a D-lineman in the 23rd pick. Who the hell knows if he's going to be good? I'd rather have a guy I know is good. And it might cost you a little more, but you know he's good.
Do you see him doing that though, Chew? After hearing that, I don't think there's a chance he trades that first round pick.
He'll make one big splash.
Yeah, I think he'll make a splash in free agency, but I don't think it's Crosby. I don't think it's Devontae. I don't know where it is, but yeah, it doesn't seem like trading for Max Crosby's on that list.
Okay, so here's the last thing I want to do before we move on in this segment. Jason Wilde, of course, asked great questions. Did that yesterday in the press conference as well. Is there an urgency with the Green Bay Packers to win a championship? Let's take a listen to what Brian Gutekunst had to say.
Spent a lot of time today talking about a lot of really good things, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of growth and a lot of really good players you have on your team. You talked a little bit about inconsistency, but I mean, the bottom line is you did finish 11-6 and you didn't get to where you wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
So as you go into 2025, like, what is your challenge? Like, what is your, like, hey, this is title town. This is about championships. We didn't get to work. Disappointed you about this year that you need to be better about?
Yeah, you always have some disappointments in the year. I think for me, the thing that's been on my mind, I think, as we've concluded this season, is we need to continue to ramp up our sense of urgency. You know, these opportunities don't come. You know, the life of a player in the National Football League is not very long. We got a bunch of good guys in that locker room. We got a bunch of talented guys in that locker room, and yeah, I think it's time that we start competing for championships, right? And I think they're ready. I think they're, like I said, I think they are wired right. I think that group is the kind of guys that can do that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to go do it, you know. And we fell short in some areas this year that, like they always are every year, a little frustrating. But at the same time, you know, I didn't think they blinked, you know. And so I'm excited about the group. But the sense of urgency, not getting complacent. You know, some of these guys have now proven themselves to be NFL football players and have attained that. But, like, you know, what's out there for us as a team that we're willing to commit to and sacrifice for? And you know, so that's kind of the if I'm looking at one thing, that'd be it.
My takeaway from that is the sense of urgency, Chew, is on the players and the coaches that they currently have, not on him to go out and supplement those deficiencies. That's my takeaway from that.
You know what I would have loved to hear one of those guys ask him? And this is what I would have asked him. I would have said, you had one of your up-and-coming A-type players say that this team needs to figure it out, okay? Something went on towards the end of the year. Do you have any idea what that was? Do you have any idea what that was? Because something was off the tracks here. That's what I would have asked. You know, and you talk about sense of urgency and stuff like that. You can't have that when you're trying to win Super Bowls, you know.
I mean, would he really know the answer to that?
What the hell was that all about?
Would he know the answer to that, or would he just defer to LaFleur since LaFleur is the one who deals with the guys every day and is in the locker room?
I would ask both of them. I would ask both of them. And I'll tell you this. Ron knew everything that was going on when Ray Rose was head coach. And that's why he canned him. That's why he canned him after 1 year. They know, Gabe. They know. Okay? Someone should have asked him that. Because he was speaking from the... I don't think he knows any better than to speak the truth. And I'm talking Tucker Kraft.
Yeah.
You know? But I certainly would have asked that question.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Got to get excited for We Can Reach You, which is coming up next.
Bunzel's Meat Market, 90th of Burleigh in Milwaukee. You need to be stopping by this week and weekend. Pick up some of the great specials they have. USDA Certified Choice Angus, New York strips, just $18.99 a pound. Bunzel's own fresh Al Capone pork chops, $6.99 a pound. Those things are fantastic. Homemade stuffed chicken breasts, $5.99 a pound. Stinging honey marinated boneless chicken thighs, just $5.89 a pound. I love going to Bunzel's. I'm going to be going out there. Just made some of the great chicken I had from Bunzel's last night. I'm always going out there. It's the only place I trust in terms of getting my meat and what I want to get on a week-to-week basis for what I'm making at home. But while you're at Bunzel's, check out the daily lunch or dinner specials in the deli. I love grabbing a sandwich if I go out there for myself as well. Bunzel's, 90th and Burleigh. Check it out online. Bunzel's.com for the January meat deal and more.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get a monocle?
I just assumed, when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Potawatomi Sportsbook is upping its game in a major move for all sports bettors out there. You can use your Potawatomi Rewards card at most self-service kiosks and, of course, at the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports and earn reward points along the way. Now, that is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play The Week in Reach You.
What do we got, Gabe?
I feel good for the big guy in this one. So we've got five questions of things that Chewy has said throughout the course of the week. And here on Fridays, we go back and quiz to see how much he remembers of what he said throughout the course of the week. Five questions, three you win, Chew. Three get right, you win. You get three wrong, you lose. Let's go ahead and start with number one. Starts with an audio clip.
Extra work?
I'm doing the work. I came up with the idea.
What was the name of the segment idea that you came up with earlier this week?
Come on, Chew.
Well, it was Chew on this, but I don't know what the hell we were supposed to do with it.
You know, that tracks.
That tracks, yeah. I mean, you got it right, but I don't know if you know you got it right.
I've never... That the most self-explanatory segment ever.
Yeah, but didn't a caller or a texter say that we should have a segment like that?
Yeah, because you said Chew on this, and then we went to break.
Well, okay.
That was underwhelming.
That was disappointing, but you still got it right. Question number two, okay. Once again, starts with the audio clip.
Why does it have to always, everything's got to taste good?
What food argument did you start this week?
Oh, the stupid chocolate chips and banana bread. Dumbest thing. You know what? And she threw half of the banana bread away.
What?
And she said... Yes.
You deserve
that. I'm not eating that, guy. It's disgusting.
What do you mean? You ate an entire piece of it.
She said, that's the only piece I had, though. And I didn't like it at all. I was just kind of hungry. She said she will make me a banana bread with no chocolate chips. And that thing will not last. It won't last 2 days.
Again, this is a philosophy thing. You just like eating healthy, or you have been conditioned to believe you need to eat healthy, so you reject the chocolate chips on principle, even though we all know chocolate chips make almost everything better. Everything you put, again, that you would put chocolate chips. I'm not suggesting throw chocolate chips on your tilapia.
Yeah.
I'm saying the things that you would put.
No chocolate chips with the corn on the cob.
Thank you.
Exactly. We don't put candy corn in spaghetti.
Okay. Well, I don't put candy corn
spaghetti
in my mouth.
Can stand alone.
What are you, Elf over there?
God. Everything doesn't have to taste good.
Banana bread and spaghetti are not even in the same on the same planet. Okay.
Yeah, they are.
Where you lose me, I understand not having the preference of, hey, don't need the chocolate chips and the banana bread. I disagree with it, but I understand where you're coming from. Where you lose me is not everything has to taste good.
How does he lose you? This is Borscht guy.
Well, no, this is Borscht guy over here. But if he likes Borscht, then he thinks Borscht tastes good.
I'll give you an example.
Like, yes, everything you eat, I hope it tastes good. I hope you're not choking down meals five times a week.
Here's an example, okay? So when the kids were here, they eat that Oikonos yogurt, which is disgusting. And then a massive amount of blueberries. And Angie's like, should I just throw this away? And I'm like, no, I'll eat it because it's wasteful and it's actually good for
scarcity mindset. See,
that's all I'm saying.
Well, but he was fine with he's got selective scarcity mindset because he let her throw away the other half of the banana bread.
Here's the other thing that loses me with this argument, guys. You act like banana bread is healthy.
Right.
It is not healthy. If you've ever made a banana bread, you are throwing cups of sugar in that sucker. So this idea that because you use bananas as one of the ingredients, but you can't throw chocolate chips in because it makes it unhealthy, erroneous.
It's a dessert already. Like, what does chocolate chips hurt?
Doesn't.
Yeah, but it's already an A. Banana bread's already an A.
Okay? It's elevated to an A+.
It's not like high school. It's not like high school where you get 4.3 grade point averages, okay? 4.0 is the top. And it's fine.
All right, we have to.
You don't need to go above that.
All right, you're 2 for 2 on things that you said and you remembered this week. We move on to number 3, Joshy.
I'm done listening to the wrong people. That's it in a nutshell.
What issue were you listening to the wrong people about?
Hold on, I'm going to need to hear that again. I was angry this week. I'm done listening to the wrong people. That's it in a nutshell. My voice in every one of these is elevated.
Yes, I know. I was here with you all week, pal.
I don't know this one. I must not have been here for this conversation.
One more time. I'm done listening to the wrong people. That's it in a nutshell.
What issue were you listening to the wrong people about?
I have no idea.
It was your sack.
Which one?
Your bursa sack.
Oh, okay.
Did you talk about your other sack on the show this week when I wasn't here?
Because you're listening to the wrong people. Then you finally called your buddy who was like a PT, and they told you to apply pressure, and then it felt better.
You know what, though? And I'll give kudos to my doctor. Tons of kudos. Even though he's a Bears fan, the needling helped. At his suggestion. So I canceled the x-ray. Which x-rays tell you nothing. Zero zip. I mean, this isn't 1964 for crying out loud. I mean, they'll show a broken bone, but that's it. There's no bone in here that's broken, so why would I get an x-ray?
Mind you, the wrong person in this was his doctor. That's who he was saying.
Joshy, that's really important information. Or perspective.
Mm-hmm. And now he's gone back to being on the doctor's side.
All right, give me the next one.
All right, so you just
what
need-
am I?
You've gotten 2 right, you've gotten 1 wrong, so you still just need to get one of the last 2 right to win. Question number 4.
I talk for 2 hours a day. That is enough. That's my wife.
What is the new
thing? That's a new one.
Your wife is tracking you about.
How many people do you talk to in a day? I mean, most people, I would say probably when you put it all together, probably talk for an hour. So I'm an hour ahead of the
You're in a room full of the wrong people to say that to.
Well, but it's not just about talking in general. It's about how many people are you talking to? How many interactions are you having?
Talking to the wall
would disqualify you from this conversation.
We have callers. How many people should you talk to in a day?
I don't know. You tell me. You're the one. Ask your wife.
Ask
She's the one tracking. What's the number she wants you to get to?
Josh is probably the closest personality to me. Josh, how many people... Oh, there's a cat.
Did you just squirrel us with a cat?
Squirrel.
Yes. Can you go grab it, bring it into the video stream?
He's trying to drink the pool water, but that's salt water. This could be interesting.
Well, we know what Chewy's doing for the rest of the day.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
How many people do I talk to a day?
I want to hear the last question on the sheet.
All right, let's just see if we can run up the score quickly. Starts with the audio clip.
You guys are part of it. You're part of the look at me generation. You got Twitter? Both of you have Twitter?
Why were Josh and I accused of being in the look at me generation?
Do I need this to win?
No.
No, you already won.
Oh, then I don't.
So he's just going to punt.
Oh, like me in Weekly Wager last
Good
week.
Good effort.
So let me get this straight. It's okay for Chewy to be winning and punt, but it's not okay for Jen to be winning and punt. I just want to make sure we're all clear.
Yeah, because nobody's betting on this. Nobody's tailing you.
It's good for the goose and good for the gander.
Nobody's
and
tailing
whatnot.
Chewy and betting on Week and Reach you. By the way, we were accused of being at the Look at Me generation because Josh and I were not mad about players celebrating first downs, touchdowns, and turnovers.
Yeah, I don't really remember that.
That guy called. He said, has this always been happening?
Yeah, I remember the caller. I remember the caller. Yeah. So.
And then we tried to say Dion was dancing.
Yeah,
Michael Irvin.
Yeah, you tried to pretend that it didn't happen in your generation.
A win's a win, he says.
It didn't happen in my generation. We got yelled at.
What? It didn't happen on your team, but it happened in your generation.
Yeah, Dion Sanders existed.
It's one of the best players.
Super Bowl shuffle. The icky shuffle.
They did an entire music video.
Yes.
On the Super Bowl shuffle. Can you imagine if somebody did that today? Chewy would be all over them.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wrap up the show right after this. But if you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out, or maybe you're visiting our great city of Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. Deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, so you will enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation, we've talked about fantasy camp, and now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Chew, I do have several loyal listeners on our Carbless Talk and Text line who are curious how the crabbing went yesterday. Crab traps, how that went yesterday.
Yeah.
How did it go?
It was epic.
It was epic.
72 claws, I believe 12 pounds.
Oof.
So tonight is ribeyes and stone crab.
Ooh, a little surf and turf.
And yes. You're inviting folks over for that, or is it just you and Ange?
No, I think there'll be a group of people. Yeah.
What if
it
I crash?
It was a nice haul. come on over. It was a good haul. Unbelievable haul. Unbelievable haul.
Was it cold?
Wasn't bad. It was so sloppy, though. The smell is, like, disgusting. Ugh. Had to strip in the garage.
Oh, you don't like the smell of the crab, but you enjoy the taste of the crab.
No. When you pull, because there's algae all over the line as you pull it up, and you get covered in it, and it's just, but it's worth the reward. The reward is so good.
It's really impressive.
Delish.
So are you responsible for making all, well, I doubt you're going to make all that crab, but are you going to make the crab and the steaks? You're responsible for it all tonight?
My buddy's grabbing the steaks. I'll cook them up. But you know what you don't have to do with the stone crab? Put chocolate chips in them. They're
doofus.
Great by themselves.
I literally didn't know where he was going with that. So the callback I do want to give him props for. But
No. He doesn't get props for that.
Yep.
You kidding me?
Yep.
What a bunch of BS.
Oh, listen, it's a doofus comment, but I do like that he was like, hey,
that
chocolate
was for
chips.
The Twitter toads. You know who I'm talking to.
What the chocolate chip toads? You know, we're chocolate chip toads.
Oh, all those people out there who like chocolate. You're right. That is a vocal minority, too. Well, congratulations on the haul. I'm sure you'll have a wonderful time this evening. Just want to put a bow on our conversation this morning, honoring and remembering the great Bob Uecker, who passed away yesterday. So many of our loyal listeners weighing in. James says, I remember as a kid in the 90s listening to games on the radio. Frequently after bedtime, I'd go to sleep serenaded by Bob Uecker. One night during a particularly bad beatdown, Bob said on the radio, I hope somebody out there is listening to us tonight. And I replied to Bob in my empty room, I'm here. I always listen to you, Uke. So many sentiments like that rolling out over the last 24 hours as we continue to remember Bob Uecker here and elsewhere. Gabe, last thoughts on Bob Uecker as we put a bow on the show.
You mentioned it before. He is the greatest Milwaukee Brewer. And that's, again, no offense to Yount, Molitor, Brawny, Yelich, any of the other guys, Fingers, Aaron, any other player who has their name hanging high above AmFam Field. There's a reason why Uke is up there. There's a reason why his home run call is above the chalet in left field. And those are the things that'll live on forever. We're always going to have that connection to Bob. It is going to be a little sad when springtime rolls around and he's not going to be on our radios anymore. But we're always going to have those connections because of Bob and for a lot of people with each other and with families because Bob is that through line and had been for 54 years.
Will Dientausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great weekend, everybody.